Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I hope everybody had a great weekend. I hope that you are plowing away, getting ready for Christmas. I will tell you this, as a matter of fact, for a very special surprise, on the 24th, if you tune in, I will be live, and I will have a very special program for everybody regarding what has been bestowed upon us as Christmas has become the holiday that it is instead of the holiday that it really was. I don't want to lend too much to it, but it basically gives you how the manipulation really came about, because if you know the history of Christmas, it really wasn't about Christ. It's something that was manipulated, but I don't want to give too much away. So anyway, this show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, as well as 1798Part2.org, as well as RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only show that will give you the formula and the process that will get the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution, which means a lot of the things that they have gotten into your life about, like how much water you can flush with your toilet and the type of light bulbs that you can buy on the shelf, getting those types of things out of your life, as well as a lot of other things that they just have no business being in your life, dealing with, regulating, and dominating us. So let me move forward real quick, because I've got so much to go through, and I've kind of, with last week's focus on education across the entire week, I have a little bit more on that, but it's not necessarily going to be my focus all week like last week. I gave you at least a segment or two last week regarding the problem with education. I know I've been telling you since I've been on this air, since I've been on Red State Talk Radio, and as well as the local programming that I have had in LA, as well as up here in the Pacific Northwest area or the Readout area, I will tell you that the problem and the reason our society has been debased is because of our education system. So it really does deserve a lot of focus. With that, let me let you know that we do have that crowdfunding site up on GoFundMe, and we would appreciate your support. I actually have updated it, so you can kind of look at where we are in the arrears, or as you know, how much money we have not been reimbursed for the expenses and so forth. And I'd love to get everybody covered, because moving and traveling around and speaking and doing this stuff in the local states, as far as going to Wyoming and all the flyover states, it's going to take time and it's going to take a little money. It's not a lot of money. I mean, we're not really looking to try to pull in anything other than what we need to do this. I know I'm going... looks like we'll be traveling again this month to California to talk to a few people. And then I will be going to Wyoming again in January. So it's not like this is not a process of me making any money. And I've told you that before, but we're just trying to make it so that we're not subsidizing the entire effort. With that, if you want to help, if you want to step in and become a part of the solution, we've actually got a lot of people that are stepping up. We just need you to step up as well. If you have a computer, because it's not necessarily about money. If you don't have the money, well, okay, that's fine. We would love to have your help, and we could use your help in making phone calls, doing research, or what have you. So just send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I will also tell you that we are going to have a campaign that we're going to target 7 states, as well as we are going to target probably another 10 or 15 states regarding the 17th Amendment with the Constitution Club. I've got to talk to Keith, but I'm hoping to have that conversation with him coming up, and I will give you those dates in just a second here. However, if you want to be a part, if you want to lead in your local area, info@reclaimingtherepublic.com, as well as you should join the Constitution Club. It's constitutionclub.ning.com. And with that, I will stop my groveling and just let you know that I did check the news, and there happens to be zero signs. There's zero evidence. Well, I may have some deer in the yard, but there's zero evidence that the federal government is disbanding any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. So again, if you're waiting for a miracle, I'm sorry. I think the good Lord has left this up to us. I do not believe he is going to step in until it is time to step in for a very specific purpose. I've talked to a lot of people, and I know there's a lot of, how do you say, there's a lot of different Christian faiths and so forth out there that, you know, some of them believe in this, you know, what is that, Left Behind series, or about regarding the rapture and all of that. And I don't necessarily subscribe to that. I look at Matthew 24, and clearly it seems like the elect are going to be going through the tribulation according to Christ. But the reason I'm asking and talking about this is because I think there's a lot of people that are just being complacent that, oh, the good Lord is in control and he's going to do all of these things. I think just like with the framers, he's expecting us to do the job. If, you know, if he has to, he will come down and he'll straighten everything out. But if there's going to be any straightening out at this point in time, it is really left upon us, just like with the framers. And so I would tell you that if you're waiting for the miracles, you're going to literally have to wait till the second coming. But if you want to save this Constitution, the blessing he bestowed upon us, then you really need to get involved and step up, and step up soon. So let me move forward into actually some of the things I kind of wanted to talk about. So during the week of 17th to the 21st of December, I will be, basically that's my interview week. I'm going to be playing a lot of different interviews, and one of those interviews will be with Mitchell Gerber, or Mitchell Nicholas Gerber, and we're going to be talking about what the heck's going on in China, this live organ harvesting. And oh, by the way, just in the news, a former NFL linebacker, Detroit Lions general manager, Matt Millen, he's in the hospital waiting for a heart transplant, and he needs one pretty quick. So the question is he going to get one from China? Is he going to basically have somebody die so that he can live a few more years or what have you? We'll have to watch that. We'll have to find out, you know, how desperate people that have that kind of money, because he can easily get on a plane, medically transport himself to China and get his, you know, heart for, I would just say, a drop in the bucket for the amount of money he has. I'm sure that he can afford a $60,000 heart transplant or what have you. Anyway, I'm also going to have Aaron Tilbury, and he'll be back on to talk about this sex slave trafficking during this week of interviews. And I'm going to have, I've sent out a request. I expect to hear back from Keith Broder sometime soon regarding what the Constitution Club is going to be doing in January regarding the rescission of the 17th Amendment. I hope to also get Alan Myers lined up so that he can talk about his money and banking fraud issue, as well as some of his solutions with the monetary system. I'm hoping to maybe line up a couple of other people, but that will be a surprise for even myself. I know that everybody is... And I know that Bush, President Bush Sr., passed away on Friday, right before the show aired. And so I didn't get a chance to necessarily say anything. But what I want to do is I want to basically let you know that something you can look forward to. I will be giving a tribute to past President Bush Sr., and that I'm going to do that in January out of respect for the family and those who admired him and are mourning his, you know, his loss or his passing. I do not care for anyone who likes to pile on without respect. I mean, there's a time and a place for everything. And when somebody passes, it is just absolutely disrespectful to, I think, just civility. You should not be just piling on. And I think it's really pathetic to find that people in the media are whining and sniveling about partisan issues and subjectivity, you know, like the economy, how, you know, he wasn't very good on the economy. Really? I mean, give me some tangible problems or what have you, or some of his gaffes, like, and actually they were perceived as gaffes and they were sold by the media as gaffes because the media did not like him because they wanted to get back to a progressive president. And so that was helping set the stage for supposedly a, you know, a Clinton win. I will just say that, again, I'm going to get into the details in January. Hopefully I can get it all done in one show. There's a lot of material to cover on President Bush. So we will see how, you know, how well that goes. If I can get it into one show, I might have to do two. But something you can look forward to, I promise you. I really don't. I'm now stepping into the education system, and what I wanted to kind of highlight, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because I spent basically all last week giving you more than 2 cents worth on what needs to be done and some suggestions for you on how we can recapture our future electorate, because if not, it is completely lost. The progressives have their useful idiots in our kids. So when we come back, I'm going to just highlight a few things to kind of give you a macro view of America's education system and so forth. And we will be right back after word from our sponsors. So please stay tuned, and I'll be right back after this. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer 5 people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my 3 C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. So something to think about. Our education system is something that had evolved since the religious systems in each of the states basically abdicated their responsibility. Clearly, when you read the cod fishery bounties that Madison on the Congress floor, or I should say the House floor, debated, I believe it was Livingston, regarding the fact that they wanted to actually use the general welfare clause impaying bounties to help out the cod fishery up in the New England coast. Anyway, as Madison really starts going on, and I've read this before, maybe it's time I read it again, but he goes on to literally, and he doesn't go after scorched earth, but he goes after what is perceived as the most abominable consideration that man, you know, that they could think of for government. Because at the time, churches were the ones that were responsible, because churches were state-sponsored. They had, each state had a state-sponsored church. Most of them were Anglicans, some were Puritans, and so forth. But each state, or each colony, and as it confirmed and transformed into an independent sovereign state from the Revolutionary War and into the Constitutional Republic, the compassionate services were done by the churches. And so in the 1850s, around that time frame, when Horace Mann brought in this new education system, because the churches were abdicating their responsibility. Why? Because many of the churches were kind of pushed to the side, and they were really dependent on that little, you know, stipend from government regarding taxing the people and giving it to the churches. It costs money to provide compassion services. And therefore, when the states kind of stepped away and says, we think you guys ought to be doing this all on your own, because they literally went down this path of trying to become, everybody started becoming non-denominational, which was a good step in the right direction. But it also opened the door for a lot of evil and or non-Christian faiths to come in, like Satanism, Luciferism, what have you. It took a long time for those faiths to actually, you know, rear their head, because they couldn't just rear their head in the 1850s, because I'm sure there still would have been lynchings and so forth. It wasn't until well into the 20th century where they started actually rearing their head. Just like Islam was not a faith that was a recognized faith or even an established faith until the 20th century. So as the education system moved into this non-denominational, or I should say the states moved into this non-denominational approach, the states started also taking over the education system. By the end of the 19th century, the states had literally become, because of communism and its effect, because communism actually came out in the late mid to late 19th century. I think the Communist Manifesto was published in 1843 off the top of my head. It was somewhere about that time. And Karl Marx, you know, they created this Frankfurt School of Communism, economics, and so forth. And there were thousands of Americans that went to that, and they all came back believing that this is the direction we needed to go. W.D. Du Bois was one of those, W.B. Du Bois. And so anyway, long story short, what ended up happening is that the progressives literally took over. And I've kind of told you this several times, that they've taken over and they have a full monopoly over the narrative of our education system. Well, if you look at how our education system and how America has children today, it's not like, you know, we wait till people are really wise. And I know there's been a lot of advocates. Oh, you really have to have a license. And they don't mean a license like just go and get married license, but like you have to pass a test to be able to have kids. I truly believe that when a society goes down that path, you know, we're heading towards the same thing what China is doing and so forth, because that's when we literally start becoming too fascist and too far to the left. And that's right, fascism is to the left, not to the right. So with that, if you look at how America has children, there's lots of people that have kids that are way too young. Well, if you understand the incrementalism that they've been using in education, then you can understand that what a person with gray hair went through in school, we were already introduced to collectivism. If you listen to my interview with G. Edward Griffin, even he, who graduated, I want to say in the 40s, G. Edward Griffin was taught on the principles of collectivism as well. That's how far back it goes. It's just more hype on collectivism and more sell on socialism and the principles of that ideology of subjugation, that we need to subjugate ourselves to church. We've literally gone in an opposite direction of going from a free academic society to literally a society that wants to enslave us. And if you look at how the past two generations have been ratcheted up, this last generation that we're dealing with right now, as we watch those marches on life, you can actually tell that these kids are ripe. They are programmed and ready to throw away our liberties. They do not care. They think it's all about guns because that's what they've been taught. They have no wisdom whatsoever. And so you better watch out. You better be careful, because as we move forward, if we're not doing something very proactive, this education system has been programmed and tuned to literally undermine this constitutional republic. And so that's why it's been such a huge focus for me in trying to help elucidate this and trying to help clarify why this is such a dire situation, why we don't have a lot of time. If we get Republic Review in gear and start moving, we can literally actually just put the gauntlet down in keeping out democracy and allowing these states to literally try to force a democratic rule of saying, hey, it doesn't matter how many states there are. We have such a high popular vote. We need to overcome this stupid republicanism and go to a democracy, because that's where they're going to push us. That is because nobody understands republicanism. So what that means is it bears the necessity, or I basically have to take on the responsibility of getting into republicanism and trying to impress upon people through, you know, some educational programs and so forth. And I will try to use this show to help you understand republicanism and how important it is and how genius it is in how we protect ourselves by protecting the minority always. And that's why the minority has the advantage in our constitutional republic. It only takes 13 states to keep the majority or the three-fourths rule from overpowering and inflicting their will upon, you know, the minority. So that was a brilliant, if not divine, inspiration that the framers received in the amendment process and allowing or keeping the majority rule from actually overcoming us by this point in time. Because if not, we would have, because everybody is already attuned to democracy and we've been attuned as we the people kind of concepts for a long time. So I just want to emphasize again that republicanism is one of the most important things that we need to start teaching our children. And I'm hoping to help, you know, clarify some of these things, because American republicanism is not just the same thing as republicanism that you would understand. Most people know that republicanism means that we have a representative form of government. But do we? It seems like, and they're talking about, and I've kind of talked about this last week as well, about trying to undo the Electoral College. And then there's another group that's actually trying to move back towards a more pure form of what the Constitution wants for the Electoral College. But I still believe that the Electoral College should really be electing electors who are smart and wise, who can actually, you know, pick, getting rid of the primaries and everything else, and allowing the electors to actually do that. It would literally shut down this huge presidential run. And most people go, oh, we got to have a great president. If you look at the Constitution doesn't necessarily require a great president, nor does it give the president that kind of power. His job is only to faithfully execute the laws and to kind of maintain a very smart. I mean, the one most important thing where the president mentality and innovation and so forth is in foreign relations, because that's where the president actually has some latitude of utilizing his own intellect and so forth in dealing with, you know, like China and what Trump is doing. Everything else is literally just, you know, it's by the numbers. He has to execute the laws. I mean, he's not a king. He doesn't have sovereignty to dictate as they've been doing for the past two centuries. So we've actually been protected from tyrants. We've actually been protected from Congress. The problem is that we don't understand the Constitution, or not enough people understand it to actually enforce the Constitution. So that's why Republic Review, in stopping this huge surge of democracy, is, I don't see any other hope or any other mechanism that is even out on the horizon that will come close to what Republic Review will do. I would beg your 2 cents on this, and looks like I'm going to go right into a break right here. So if you want to call in, again, the number is 215-867-8255. And so with that, we will be right back after this break. So please stay tuned, and I've got a lot of information for you on some of the stuff that's kind of happened in the past week and a half or so. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those 3 C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And so let me just kind of leap forward with reckless abandon. I'm not sure if you've kind of noticed over the past few years how Berkeley has been very intolerant towards the conservative side, where a lot of conservative statespeople, I would say, Ann Coulter and so forth, have actually gone in there. Well, there's a group called the Young Americans Foundation, or YAF, who actually took them to task and actually went into a long-term lawsuit. And for actually more than a year, they have been trying to sue Berkeley for violating the civil rights of those who want to hear an alternate voice. Now, I've been telling you that you do not have a constitutional right to gag somebody, to keep them from talking, from shutting them down. And when these indolent dolts that go into these types of presentations and they just make a bunch of noise so that you can't be heard, and they end up shutting down these types of presentations, That right there is a huge violation of one's constitutional rights of expression, especially when you're the one that's being paid to actually be there to express, to talk, and so forth, that they've asked you to come in to actually speak. And so the campus conservatives accuse the university of bias in the process of bringing high-profile speakers, as I've said, like Ann Coulter and so forth. And so an amended version of the lawsuit included roadblocks, because Berkeley actually started creating roadblocks to make it hard for people to come in. And they did this for the conservatives. So they actually made it really hard, and it definitely affected the event that Ben Shapiro was supposed to actually speak at. And so the Department of Justice filed a statement of interest backing the campus conservatives. And the crux of their argument revolved around two campus policies that they claim violated students' First and 14th Amendment rights. Now, see, there it is right there, folks. The 14th Amendment is what actually makes it impossible for states or other municipalities to violate. Now, so here's the interesting thing. If Berkeley was a pure private school and did not receive any funding from the government, they would not be included in this, because in all honesty, private corporations can hinder and can literally limit your speech, such as the NFL. The NFL could literally say, well, and they've had policies that this is what you're going to do, but I'm going to go down that rabbit hole, so I'll stop myself right here. The fact of the matter is the 14th Amendment applies to all types of government organizations and so forth. If you are at a private school, then it is different. But these high-profile speaker policies and an on-the-books major event policy literally made it hard. And the Department of Justice's will not. This is basically what the Department of Justice said. The Department of Justice's will not stand idly by while public universities violate students' constitutional rights. And so the Associate Attorney General, Rachel Brand, basically made that statement. And in the settlement, basically, UC Berkeley had to agree to the following set terms. They had to pay YAF, and if I remember what that stood for, it was the Young Americans Foundations. Yeah, so I... trying to remember what these acronyms stand for, because there's so many. So the Young Americans Foundation is going to receive $70,000 plus probably their legal fees. Berkeley will also have to rescind the unconstitutional high-profile speaker policy. They're going to have to rescind the viewpoint discriminatory security free policy and abolish its heckler's veto protest. And so they'll no longer be able to shut down conservative expressions. In other words, they have to guarantee some level of security in ensuring that whoever comes in will be able to freely speak. This is a huge leap in protecting the First Amendment rights of anybody to be able to go out and actually speak. And so I'm actually expecting to see this literally move more into some other fringes, because this was Berkeley. This is right in the shadows. And you probably know that Berkeley's probably going to try to contest this, and they'll probably take it all the way up to the next step is the Ninth Circuit Court. And they're probably anticipating that they're going to get a pass on this. So it'll have to go up to the Supreme Court. But I truly believe they've got it right. You cannot shut down somebody's speech, that especially if you have a role with government. If you're being paid by the government, then you have a responsibility of ensuring both the First Amendment and the 14th Amendment rights of the citizens or those people that you are providing services for as an educational facility. Something else to think about. So Trevor Noah, I don't know if you've heard, you know, his comments, but he thinks that the Second Amendment was not created for black folks. And so if you understand, going right back to this whole thing about the 14th Amendment, the whole point why the 14th Amendment applied the Bill of Rights, and so when I say it applied the Bill of Rights, I literally mean that, because the 14th Amendment in it is in Section 1, it states that no state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States. It's pretty clear. And so when Congressman Bingham stood up on the floor, he says, these apply to the Bill of Rights, the individual privileges and immunities that are within the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. So what they were doing, what Congress was doing in that one stanza of the 14th Amendment, was they were basically shutting down states from being able to keep a certain class of people, regardless, or any one person or all people, from having the same privileges and immunities protected that the federal government had to abide by. In other words, the southern states were not allowed, because they were already starting to pass laws that would keep the freemen from being able to own guns, from being able to assemble, from being able to do very specific things that would help them get empowered. And I understand that there were a lot of shenanigans with the 14th Amendment. And I know that if you look at post the Civil War, and you look at how the 14th Amendment was ratified and so forth, it was done by duress and all of that. I look at it today as not necessarily a godsend, but I do look at it as the divine hand of providence, because it is one of those things that we as conservatives are truly relying upon, that one particular stanza, to keep our ability to bear arms. As we see states left and right actually trampling on the individuals or the citizens of their states, like Washington State, that just passed a voter initiative in literally making and creating ex post facto laws in going after the citizens, as well as starting to limit their ability to bear arms. So the 14th Amendment is the vehicle in, in fighting and defending one's individual rights, our individual constitutional and civil rights. So anyway, back to this dolt, Trevor Noah. He doesn't know anything about the Constitution, and he doesn't really understand when he says the Second Amendment was not created for black folks. Actually, because the Second Amendment existed, and I want to be clear here, the Bill of Rights was not a necessary point. And as a matter of fact, I'm telling you that had we not passed the Bill of Rights, then the states would not have been able to have these very particular negatives applied against them. I tell people all the time that the danger of the Bill of Rights was that it made states and people complacent because they were protected from the federal government. However, they were not protected from their states. The states could have become very tyrannical, and we would have had a huge mess by not having Bill of Rights within the states, or at least having a clear constitution in fighting forward. But bottom line, the southern states would not have behaved well after the Civil War. I think that had we done everything perfect, we wouldn't have had any of these problems, and racism would probably be a minimal problem today, had everything been perfect. But seemingly that we're human beings and we do make mistakes, well, it just seems like we're, you know, apt to have those problems. In Europe, racism against black people, and if you think it's bad here, that's why I want to bring this up, is really widespread across the EU in work, housing, and policies. Watchdogs are actually out there warning everybody that racism towards blacks has really risen. Now, I'm not sure if that's literally because of this migratory problem that has come up from Africa, as a lot of the Islamists have actually moved forward and gotten and penetrated throughout the EU, because we see that this is a problem. And as a matter of fact, the question I love to ask people is, give me one country that is absolutely, give me one Western society country that is, you know, just so happy and brimming with a smile on their face that Islam has infiltrated their country. Give me one. The number to call in is 215-867-8255 if you have one, but I'm going to guess you don't. Because I don't think anybody's bragging with the fact that, oh, yeah, look at, you know, we're so much better off because Islam is here. And so, anyway, if you look in this EU watchdog warning, they're basically saying over the last 5 years has become a problem, which to me just points straight to this whole refugee problem. I'm at a hard break, so I will be right back after this.
It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. So one of the things that I think I kind of want to respond, because I've gotten prodded a couple of times by some listeners and other groups and people. And so people, I get asked, why is it that I use the word homosexual? Why don't I use the gay, lesbian, and all of that? Because maybe I'm old school, and maybe I'm just stubborn. But I truly understand the fact that what they try to do, because this is all about marketing. The word homosexual was not a divisive word. It was a word that explained the literally... not the details, but enough regarding that attraction. And so, as I like telling people or asking people, because they go, well, why do you use that word? Because that's the word that I want to say academia and science had defined it as, because it was people of the same sex attracted to each other. Hetero meant that opposites were attracted. And so it actually makes sense. But the fact is, the word gay actually is a happy word, and it was a word that was out as a commonly used word. There were lots of movies, the gay 20s and so forth. I mean, they hijacked a perfectly good word for marketing purposes, and that's what they ended up using, or I should say, taking. And so people today look at that word and that they don't even understand the origins or why that word was taken, because they're trying to marginalize the focus of this being a perversion. And the word perversion, by the way, is something that is not normal. When you have less than 50%, then you are below the norm, if you understand that. And so Everybody gets upset when I say, well, this is a perverse thing. If you look up the definition of perverse, that means that it's outside of the normal boundaries. And so I'm just trying to explain to people that there's a principle here. I'm not going to allow other people with an agenda or progressives with an agenda to try to take and obfuscate reality. That's why I try to maintain a grounding on the words that I use. So another term that I use that people always go, well, why do you use the general government? Why do you call them the federal government? Because if you understand a federation, because what they're trying to do is they're trying to create this concept, not federalism, but a federation, because there are two types of government that we could have had. We could have had a confederacy or a federation. And when you refer to the general government as the federal government, that kind of lends to the concept of a federation. And a federation is where most all the sovereignty is delegated to the federation, that government that we call the central government or the general government. It's a very dangerous perception for people to start looking at that, because then if you really consider that the federal government is a federation, then they do have all of these powers. And that, to me, is an obfuscation of the reality. That's why I've always written, from my very first articles through my books, and even today, I constantly use the general government, because I refer to our constitutional republic as a hybrid constitutional republic, because they actually created a hybrid. They created both a small delegated or limited federal government or a general government, but they still maintained a confederacy, because the majority of the sovereignty over all things not delegated resided with the states. So in other words, we have kind of a minuscule federation with a big confederation. And so the reason I use general government is I refuse to surrender the concept that we have a centralized government that is sovereign over all things. It's about principle with me. And I think principles are important. We shouldn't be compromising our principles. And so that's why I refuse to use the words that they want to force down our throats. If you do not understand this, I hope you will get this, because if it's not in your state, and I think it's already in California, I believe it's already in Oregon, it's passed in Denver, there are other states, and I'll have to do the due diligence and look this up. But I want you to understand that there's this effort to pass SOGI laws. What are SOGI laws? These are sexual orientation, gender identification. In other words, you can consider yourself anything you want. And if somebody calls you by the improper pronoun, you can take them to court and sue them. There was I think it was a teacher or somebody that wasn't at school. I've got to look at the details. This happened a couple of years ago where somebody was actually fined, I want to say $60,000 or $70,000, because they used the improper pronoun, and that was in Oregon. I believe similar cases have popped up in California. If you understand what this is doing, this is a violation of the Constitution. They've actually created a law that is limiting free speech and expression. Why is it that we're allowing this to happen? So this is one of the reasons why I'm asking state legislators across the red states to step up and pass a bill that literally limits, or not even limits, but actually pass a bill, because this is just stating the obvious, I know, but I'm asking them to pass a bill that would state that all laws, regulations, policies, and codes, and everything else that they pass that can be considered a lawful thing, that all of these things have to comply with the U.S. Constitution and the state constitution, so that they can't pass a law that actually violates their constitution and the U.S. Constitution. One would think that they wouldn't do it, but they've been doing it, and they've been doing it, and they've been doing it. So let's start with getting them to pass this one bill, get this one law enacted. And as a matter of fact, I believe that the next step beyond this is actually amending each of these state constitutions to literally demand that there is a constitutional amendment to keeping them from being able to pass laws that will violate the U.S. Constitution or the state constitution. It's kind of stupid, but literally they're all doing it and they don't hold themselves accountable. So by making this a law, it actually opens the door for really protecting the citizens of each of these states from their constitutional and their civil rights being violated. Now, I don't have a lot of time, but I do want to go into a few things to give you something to think about. And I don't know if you've heard, but GM, and you've heard about this trade problem with GM wanting to shut down a lot of its workforce and so forth. And so this kind of stems to the problem of what ended up happening. And we've had problems with the U.S. automotive industry for years and years. We were literally lackadaisical. And if you look at when unions started penetrating the workforce, that was kind of the beginning of the end for great American products, at least in the automobile industry. This is what created an entitlement. This is what actually took away a merit-based system. And so everybody, and that's one of the reasons why most of these auto manufacturing places are companies are going to automation. There's another reality that we have an aging workforce. And as they start removing more and more employees, the few that are left are basically just operating robots and so forth. There's very little hands-on. They're trying to make it so that a human being is no longer involved in these processes. Because why? Because people are expensive. This is also the battle line for the progressive entrenchment, because if you understand the aging workforce, if you understand the entitlement and the merit-based system, or actually no merit-based system, the unions are literally the ones that have actually put these automobile manufacturers in this position. If you really want to save these American automobile companies, you have to let them go bankrupt, and you have to basically break all of these laws, or I should say these contractual obligations that they have, because it all falls under contract law of having to provide all of these things for these union laborers. They could literally move back to a merit-based system and actually bring back innovation and creativity. They don't have to compromise necessarily what they're paying, but they don't have to carry dead weight either. Because when you don't have a merit-based system, all of a sudden you entrench this entitlement, you entrench this indolence and dead weight. So all of these laws and protections that are literally, I want you to understand this, this is all unconstitutional. And this all stems back to FDR in allowing and giving unions a strong foothold as they started permeating throughout our society. And I believe it was Kennedy that also did that as well. Another interesting thing, if you haven't heard, is the federal employees have received new guidelines that they can no longer use resistance, air quotes there, in activities while they're engaged at work. In other words, if you want to be resistant, you have to do that on your own, because these people, and they're actually going to hold them accountable to the Hatch Act, because you cannot be doing pernicious partisan activities while you're at work. So this even includes people at the White House and some of these other departments. This is good. I don't have a lot of time, so I am G.R. Mobley. I am out of here. I'll be back tomorrow. God bless. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am
trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.